Good morning, everyone. Can I invite you, if you're able to stand, please? If you're able to. On this very chilly morning now, if you're able to do this without falling over, close your eyes. If you need to hold on to something, hold on to the chair in front of you, but close your eyes and hold, well, you can't hold on the chair, hold one hand out while you're holding the back of the chair. Just like that, and be still for a moment or two in God's presence. We come on Sunday mornings with many things that have happened over the past week since we last met. I invite you to hear the words of Jesus this morning. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can meet in the way that we do, that we can look to you when life is difficult, but we can also celebrate you in the midst of the joys of life, the highs and the lows. And for the very life, Lord, that you've given us, we give you praise and thanks. And pray, Lord, that as we worship together this morning, that you will renew us, refresh us, help us to focus on you in every way. Amen. Beautiful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy. Praise you and thank you for the ways that you are at work in our lives, in every circumstance, in every need, guiding us, leading us, journeying with us in all of our circumstances. And may, Lord, in all that we do, may there be a song to you that undergirds our lives, that helps us to be mindful that you are with us always. That more than us coming to you, as we read earlier at the start, you have come to us and given us of yourself in your presence in us. And for all these things, Lord Jesus, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen. Please take your seats.
Don't take the chairs anywhere. When he says take the seats, you just sit down, okay? Don't take them anywhere.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Welcome to you all. Welcome to you all and all those the other side of that camera there. Welcome. We appreciate you. We appreciate your attendance. We appreciate nods, smiles, waves, all kinds of things. We can appreciate each other. We can eye contacts, all kinds of things. We welcome Matt. Matt is really worried now because I've known Matt for a long time and I really want to lay a whole stack of rubbish on him. No, I'm not going to do that. But I have known Matt for a long time. We shared microphones. We were both volunteers at Life FM Radio. We volunteered at KCO Radio. We shared microphones at NCYC Radio out at Trinity College. And he reminded me today that that's 20 years ago, and that's just a long time ago. That's a long time ago. And here's a little bit of gossip. You remember Marty? Marty, who came and was our minister for a little while last year. Marty is Matt's father-in-law. So how about that? Once upon a time, way back in Darwin, Matthew saw Rebecca and his heart went tickety, 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 tickety. And the rest is history. And we are pleased to have Matthew here today.
Yep.
I don't know whether we should call him Matt or Matthew, but he answers to both. That's okay. But you've got to realise that this bloke down here, you've got to recognise who he is because he forgot his name tag. Dun, dun. Terrible, terrible. I've laid enough on you, Matt, today now. I am pleased to have you here, and so are the rest of us.
Let's welcome, Matt.
Yeah, I reckon.
Just a couple of notices. You should have received a hard copy of the Grapevine or got one digitally. Home Aloners is happening, coming up soon, week after next, on the 3rd of June. If you want to go for lunch at the Wollonga Hotel, get in touch with Bob Manson or Bob Stone, who's not here. Oh, yes, he is. Bob's up the back there. I can't resist saying it. When you deal with these guys, you're really getting your two Bobs worth.
That's a good one.
Oh, bro. I'm really sorry about that. And Friday Friends is happening this coming Friday. So make a note of that in your diary from 10 to 11:30. Come and have a cuppa and a chat. And all the rest. Oh no, I will mention the boxes that are out there in the foyer for the packing day this year, clothing and so on, and what needs to go into those boxes. There's a list out there for you to look at and check out. All right?
Can I just add?
Yes.
I might add to add, Jackie, that we're going to continue the biggest morning tea at Friday Friends. I just have added that. But that's when we finished Creative Connection last Thursday, we were finished because there were so many people here and we really appreciated all those people turning up, church people and just extended community people who came in to be part of our biggest morning tea. We didn't get lazy and think, oh, let's just leave the balloons up for another 5 months. When you go into halls sometimes and you see the balloon that was up there back at Christmas. It was decided that we would continue the biggest morning tea for for Friday Friends. So if you would like to come on Friday, and they were amazing. I think we got $700 and something. $750 for Biggest Morning Tea for Cancer. That's incredible. Let's clap again, eh? Come on. And so if you would like to come on Friday just to come for a cuppa, or come because you want to make more donations to the Cancer Biggest Morning Tea, please do so. It is a lovely time. It's chatting time. It's cuppa time. It's having a bit of fun time. So, yep, that's on Friday. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Rob. We are going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. And as I think every time I stand here and do this, I say this is a time not just to give of what God has given us, but it's a time also to offer ourselves afresh to God. Just stay seated. I might get you to stand when we get to the last verse. Thank you that you are a giving God and you give to each of us what we need and in abundance. We bring, Lord, to you this morning our offerings that Richard and Sam are holding and the offerings that have been made electronically through the banking system. And pray, Lord, that you would enable us to use what you've given us and we've given back to the glory of your kingdom as we seek to serve you in this place and to reach out beyond the walls of this building. And again, Lord, for all these things, for all your gifts and the gifts of ourselves and our lives, we give you praise and thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats.
I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burden, as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King.
Amen. Marge, thank you.
Good morning. I'm glad we have a good and gracious King. How would we get by without him? I've mentioned before that a favourite book of mine is Leslie Brandt's Psalms Now. His words bring those ancient thoughts and words into language to which we can very easily relate in our time and place. So I have chosen to use Psalm 72 as we come to our intercessions this morning. So please join with me in prayer. O God of love, grant to your children, we pray, the grace to represent you effectively in our discordant world. Give us courage to put ourselves on the line to communicate life and truth to all your creatures, wherever they may be found. Where there is injustice, may we diagnose its cause and discover its cure. Where there is bigotry, teach us how to love, we pray, and how to encourage others to love. Where there is poverty, help us share the wealth that has come from your hand. Where there is unrest and violence, help us to be peacemakers that lead all people to your eternal peace. Help us, O God, to become what you have appointed and empowered us to become. Where there is darkness, may we become rays of your sun that banish the gloom from lonely lives. Where there is emptiness and drought, let us be like gentle showers that turn barren deserts into green meadows. Where there is ugliness and distortion, enable us to portray the beauty and order of your will and purposes. Great God, you are in our world. Your majesty is reflected in your creation around us, but there are multitudes who do not feel your concern or acknowledge your love. Is it because we have failed to carry out your command and commission? Or that we have yet to sense the significance of our salvation and the purpose of our mission? Forbid, O God, that we be deaf to the cries of the poor or indifferent to those who have needs. May we identify with those who are oppressed and help bear the burdens of those who suffer. May we hear your voice of concern and feel your loving touch, and as your servants in this place, make you known to people around us. The glory is yours, O God, and we shall praise and celebrate your cause together. And this is our promise, loving God, as these words ring so true. We recognise that it's not what you would have it to be. It is broken, cruel wars killing innocent people, arrogance and pride which allow little space for seeing the plight of the lost, lonely and disenfranchised. We pray for all those who have the power to make a difference, that they might lead with wisdom, integrity and grace to ease the pain and struggle that are the lot of so many. What our world needs now is love. And we thank you that there are people who share your love, often at great cost to their own lives. Help us all, we pray, to see the world through your eyes and do our bit wherever we might be. Help us to be rays of sunshine in a sad world. Lord, we are very conscious of those who struggle to put food on the table. It is an absolute tragedy that some have much and others have nothing. We thank you that we here through Pantry 152 are able to provide some relief for those doing it tough. We see so much hardship, Lord, and we strive to send people off with at least a lift in their step, knowing they can feed their family, at least for the now. Thank you for the beautiful volunteers who meet them with a smile and care for them in your name. Thank you for all those people who give so generously, both items of food and money, so that we can meet the needs of those who come to us. May you continue to bless this ministry and all those who are part of it. Indeed, there are many people in all walks of life who volunteer in many ways, committed to making that difference to another's situation. We pray a blessing upon all who seek to relieve another's suffering. Lord, in this country of drought and flooding plains, we are very conscious of what this means for many across the country at this time. Thank you for those who are trying to bring relief in both situations. Help them to ride this time with courage and strength that they might find hope to carry on. And at this moment, Lord, we pray quietly for those whom we know personally have heavy loads on their hearts. May your gentle, loving hand be on all those who are suffering physically, mentally, or emotionally. Please remind us again, Lord, that there is light in this world and the darkness can never extinguish it. And enable us to be bearers of that light. Friend of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. Community of Christ, who make the cross your own, live out the creed and risk your life for God alone, the God who wears your face, to whom all worlds belong, whose children are of every race and every song. Amen. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's readings come from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 32, the parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the prodigal and his brother. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had, travelled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands."' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion. He ran, put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found.' They began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jackie. Some beautiful stories, aren't they? Those parables. Thank you, David and Jackie and Marge and the team for leading us today. My name's Matthew, or Matt, and to reiterate what I've shared in my little spiel you may have read, I'm currently a part of the team at Seeds Uniting Church as one of the ministers, and I have a few specific roles to play as a part of that team there. I've been there since October, where the almost 11 years prior to that I was the minister at Echunga Uniting Church in the hills and on the Eyre Peninsula before that. Another role that I have, though, is as the Adelaide and South Hub leader for our Presbytery Generate, which the Vines are a part of. So I send you greetings on behalf of the Presbytery, which is a network of churches across the state, and my role covers 30-odd churches down this southern part of Adelaide and to Kangaroo Island. and released to check in and support. And so I've had a number of conversations with Marge and Leon and others over the last few years journeying through with you. So it's good to be here today. And I just want to encourage you as a church that you are amongst friends and amongst many others who are continuing to be a faithful presence in your communities. And as you look around, sometimes we look at what we don't have, but I want to encourage you that your faithful presence here, continuing to listen and be faithful and to be obedient to God, is really of great value. And God promises that there will be fruit as we do that. So hang in there and be encouraged. I wonder if I can get a few volunteers who are happy to stand up for a few more minutes to help me, because I'd just like to tell a story. I see those hands. Rob, I think you're going to have to be one of them. Let's start with Rob, and I'll give the rest of you a few more minutes to think about it and see who's going to be next. Hold up that. No. Thank you. You others who could just wait over to the side and. You can show that. So, meet Charlie the church lover. Charlie the church lover loved church. He loves seeing other church lovers on a Sunday. He loves singing and laughing and especially the biscuits afterwards. He wanted to live a good life. He made sure he kept all the rules. He didn't swear. He almost always didn't get into fights. And he usually put money in the offering. Now, Charlie the church lover knew about other people in his town. They were what he liked to call the lost ones. There was. Who'd like to be our next one? Let me grab this. Who have we got here? Larry the liar. Jackie has transformed into Chelsea the cheater. And there were lots of others too. Lying, cheating, stealing, all of those things that Charlie knew were sins. The lost ones were always breaking God's rules. Now, Charlie, the church lover, called them the lost ones because they'd lost their way from God and God's rules, as if they were wandering around in the paddock without knowing the right way to go home. So, Charlie, the church lover, kept away from the lost ones and away from their bad ways. In fact, if Charlie did speak to the lost ones, he'd make sure he told them how bad they were being and that they should be following God's rules instead. After a while, though, Charlie realised that the lost ones just didn't listen. So when he saw them around the place, he would try his best to avoid them. He made friends with others a little bit more like himself, people who weren't lost, who weren't sinners like the lost ones were. I think David's looking like that. Do you want to go and say, yeah? So life was good for Charlie the church lover. He was proud that he was able to keep the rules and that people could see that he was a pretty good person. But then someone new moved into town. Can everyone go, uh-oh? Who would like to? So while Charlie's still over there with his church-loving friends, someone new moved into town. Can you guess what his name was? Jesus. Now, Jesus looked like a church lover too. He seemed to talk about God and some of the things that were talked about in church. So Charlie, the church lover, was kind of interested in what Jesus had to say. But it wasn't long before Jesus started to make some friends in town. He started spending time with some particular people, and who do you think those people might have been? Over you go. You can head over that way. Well, Charlie the church lover was shocked. No, you were shocked. Instead of just spending time with Charlie and his church-loving friends, of course, Jesus spent time with Larry the liar, Chelsea the cheater, and some others in town who were even worse than they were. And what made it even more shocking was that Jesus didn't seem to be telling them off for their bad ways. He would spend time at their homes and would even eat and drink with them. Now, didn't Jesus know that these were sinners? They broke the rules and they were clearly not church lovers. And didn't he know that Charlie was a good church lover? He'd been obeying all the rules for a very long time. So surely if Jesus was going to spend time with anyone, it would be with him. To make things worse, Jesus spent some time with some other lost ones around the place too. I don't know if anyone wants to volunteer for these. Thank you. There was Henry the Hater. We need one more. And there was...
Stacey.
You want to hold it up? Stacey the Stealer. The thing is, more and more came every day. This all got a bit too much for Charlie the church lover. He grumbled to his friends about Jesus. Charlie didn't understand, and he wondered if maybe Jesus wasn't really a church lover after all. Can we thank our team for coming up? I love the fact that as we read through Scripture, even stories we think are familiar, we can read them through and go, yes, I've read that, I've heard that before. Or if we take some time to stop at a particular story or teaching, more often than not, if we give it the time, there are always things in there that might encourage us or challenge us, even amongst the completely familiar. So the stories we've heard today are no doubt familiar stories. Three stories of lost things that Jesus shares in Luke 15. But within them, there are things that I know that for me, if I pause to stop, there is always something in there that God wants to say. So today, I think these stories have something to remind us or challenge or encourage us in. They remind us about God. And they also remind us about who we are in the mixed. And as we think about ourselves and our place in these stories, they offer us both comfort and a challenge. So I wonder, as you think again of those stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, where might you place yourself in those stories? Perhaps some of us at the moment are feeling a little bit like that lost son, still a long way off. Maybe like the lost sheep. It's worth noting that in those stories, which Jesus responds to in the context of talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, Jesus compares the lost coin and the lost sheep to a sinner, a word that we don't like to comfortably throw around too much. But as he's speaking to the Pharisees, we need to remember that their view of a sinner was someone much like the view that Charlie the church lover had. Someone to keep your distance from. Someone as evil and dirty and unclean and to be avoided. The third story, the prodigal son, the actions of the son certainly put him in that category too of sinner, although Jesus doesn't use that word. And in each of those stories, Jesus' challenge to those who are listening, are challenged by not only his actions, but also his words. And he does this throughout his life. He backs up what he teaches by the way he lives. Jesus, through those actions and through those words, describes a sinner not as someone to be avoided like the plague, but as someone who, for whatever reason, has simply turned away from the one who ultimately protects and nurtures them, to from God himself. Someone who is literally lost, wandering aimlessly, but wandering further and further from the light into a life of darkness. That's every terrorist and hardened criminal. This might be our neighbour. It's also us, lost. We too fit into that category as lost. In case we object to that, there are a number of places in Scripture that remind us that we too are in that category of sinner. Isaiah 53 verse 6, "Well, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." I think if we're honest, we admit to that. There are times or moments where we go astray too. In Romans 3 verse 22 and 23, we're reminded by Paul that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So as much as we might think of the word sin and sinners as others, like lost ones out there somewhere, the reality is that the Bible paints a different picture. We're all in that same boat. Stacy the stealer, Charlie the church lover, none of us are without sin. But both Paul and the verse in Isaiah continue. And as Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There's more. That's not the end of the story, leaving us labelled as a sinner. Paul continues in Romans 3 verse 21, But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Then he says, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. The good news that comes out of the bad news is that we are, although all sinners, we are all forgiven and free. This is the gift of the amazing grace of God. This unmerited, undeserved favour that God gives out to all of us. And we sit here as those who know something of that. But we can never think that that makes us any more superior or different to anyone else. We are all in that same boat. You're probably familiar a little with the story of John Newton and familiar with some of his work. If not, he went to sea at the age of 11 and he took on the trade on his father's ship. He spent his teenage years up to no good. He would swear, he was irreligious, indulgent, to the point that even seasoned sailors around him were alarmed at the level of his corruption, including the way he would treat slaves. His friends were disgusted and his father was angry, so his father sent him to serve in the British Navy. That didn't last long. He deserted. But he was arrested, stripped and flogged for his crime. So he himself became the property of a slave trader in Sierra Leone, where he was tormented for over a year. Then in 1748, John Newton boards a ship for Britain. And as he comes across this book, he opens it. And in that, it was a Christian book. It dawned on him, what if all of this is true? He closes the book, shakes off the questions, and here's his words that he writes down as he reflects. I went to bed in my usual indifference, but was awakened by a violent sea which broke on us. Much of it came down below and filled the cabin where I lay. This alarm was followed by a cry that the ship was going down. We had immediate recourse to the pumps, but the water increased against all our efforts. Almost every passing wave broke over my head. I expected that every time the vessel descended into the sea, she would rise no more. I dreaded death now, and my heart forebode the worst, if the scriptures, which I had long since opposed, were true. They survived the storm, but John Newton was a changed man. He began to study the Bible eagerly. He embraced Jesus and eventually entered into the ministry. He became one of England's best-loved preachers and even a leader in the fight against slavery. And of course, out of that, he penned the words of that tune that most Australians would know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton knew something of this God who would leave 99 sheep to go out and pursue him, just that one. Undeserving, lost. But yet this is the grace of God, the love of God expressed. So these stories remind us of who God is, the power of God, his love for all people, including us. Where do we sit in that story? Perhaps we are one of those sheep, or that coin, or even that lost son. Scripture always reminds us of who God is. But as we place ourselves into the story, it teaches us of who we are too. And as we think of that story, perhaps some of us observe the reality that actually, if we were any of those characters in those three stories, we might be a little more like that second son. The one whose father said, "My son, you have always been with me. Everything I have is yours." Perhaps this is us. Perhaps we too, like that son, might react as he did when he saw the celebration over his brother's return and the lavish generosity his father poured out. The father says, "We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is something that challenges me, and I think this is something that comes back to us. There is a comfort in knowing who God is and his love for us, that we are sheep as a part of his pasture. But there's also a challenge, because if this is the extravagant love of God, we are called to have that same heart and to live in that same way. And here's where we have to flip the image and realize that although we are sheep, what Jesus calls us to is not just to follow as sheep. But when Jesus called the disciples and calls us to follow him, he's actually inviting us to also be a shepherd, to join with him, to not only believe in him in our minds, but in following him, to do as he did, to walk as he walked, to love as he loved. To not only say, "I believe and that's it, yep, I'm a part of that safe flock, but to recognise that what Jesus does is goes out with a heart for the one. When Jesus says to you and I, follow me, he says, come, and then go and do likewise. Where are we in this story? Do we love the lost like Jesus loved them? Or do we find ourselves, which is very easy to do, enjoying being a part of the goodness of the flock so much that we forget the heart of God? The truth is, as we've heard in Marge's beautiful prayers, that we are aware, aren't we, there are so many lost around us. Even in your families, your neighbourhoods, down the shops, as you chat to your hairdressers, which you probably do more than I do, we realise that people are struggling. People are searching. And I think many of us who've grown up in this have become so familiar with the stories and so hesitant to step out of that for fear of what people might say, that we've got into the pattern of being comfortable and stopped sharing or being bold or even considering that the lost could join the fold once again. There is a movement of God that I think is happening. It's happening in Australia, it's happening in the UK. And a number of churches, even in Adelaide, have expressed this over the last even 6 months. We're seeing people turn up on our doors in various churches, genuinely seeking, genuinely lost and willing to admit that that's so. And they may not have the baggage that previous generations have of having been made to go to church and therefore never will walk back in these doors, but there's a genuine seeking. Who is Jesus? They don't know him as a good shepherd. They don't know him as good, but they suspect there is something in it. Many of the lost are seeking. They're hungry. And we know where they need to be found, don't we? God is doing something. So I want to encourage you as a church to continue to be a faithful presence and keep the doors open, because a small percentage of those people will come looking and seeking to be found where they think they might find it. I love your bright signs out the front. You've got a presence in this community. And I'm sure many of you are in different community groups. You're doing things here that allow that to continue for people to come and walk through these doors. But there's also a call on each of us individually, for many people won't walk through these doors. It's strange to come into a new space amongst a new group of people. But they might know you as someone who goes through their checkout regularly down at the local Woolies, or as their hairdresser, or as their neighbour, or maybe as a close family member. One of the things that we can all do is to seek out and pray for those lost ones around us. To ask God, God, who is it that you'd like me to get to know, to build a relationship, to pray for? Sometimes we get overwhelmed that there's so many that we forget to just pray for the one. So on a very practical note, I'd love to encourage each of us to go from here today seeking God as to who is our lost sheep or lost coin, or maybe even it's a lost son. God, who is it in my world that perhaps I already have a relationship with that is lost and seeking and needs Jesus? Some of you are already praying for people, I'm sure, but I encourage a renewed emphasis. Ask God, who can we pray for? And my experience is that there is great power in prayer. Where we feel that we can't, we believe in a God who can and who is drawing people, who is transforming lives, and who's doing that through communities and through individuals in an increasingly changing world. Yes, the darkness increases. Yes, there is pain and turmoil, but yes, the light still shines. Jesus still is the light of the world. You are still the light of the world. And as we're intentional and partner with God in praying, prayer paves a way for people to be open, to have all of the other distractions pushed back, and for them to seek Him in the right places, to seek what they need in the right places. But we all know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the healer. All the things that people seek, they find in Him. So I'm going to leave you with a little card which has the Luke picture up. And I wonder if Rob and David, could you help me give one of these out? On this card, it has the picture that's up on the screen. And there's a verse on there that comes a few chapters later when Jesus encounters a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a lost one. But yet, as he encounters Jesus, this tax collector, his life is transformed. See, lost ones don't stay lost when they encounter Jesus. They find Him and their lives are transformed, as Zacchaeus is. Read that story later. It's in Luke. And in response to that, Jesus says these words, "The Son of Man," referring to Himself, "the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That is why Jesus came. He came for us in our lostness, but His heart is for those who continue to be lost outside the fold. So may that be our heart too. So as you take those cards, I encourage you to take them home, to ask God, "God, who is it is on your heart? Place on my heart someone, or maybe a few people, that I can be praying for, that the lost will be found, that I can partner with you." Maybe you have those names come to mind right away. Write their name on the back. Your lost sheep, your lost coin, your lost son. And as we pray, God will work. Lives will be transformed. His church will be renewed. Our incredible, faithful God will do the work. So will you pray with me? Loving God, the great Good Shepherd, the faithful Father, we thank you for your love for each person in this room, that you've carried each person through so many trials and joys, and you know what we go through even right now. Thank you for the peace and the protection of being a part of that flock, with Jesus, our guide, our protector, leading us to streams of quiet water. We thank you too for those you've placed in our world, that those who are lost and broken can find what they need in you. So as we go from here, we pray that you would bring to mind those you would like us personally to play a part in bringing transformed through you. The lost will be found. We thank you for those who will join the flock, that we'll experience life in its fullness because of our obedience. Go before us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Faithful God, we offer this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Stand and sing together to finish the service.
Thank you.
Rise up, women of the truth. Stand and sing, broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of Love? Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You've put the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Rise up, church, rise up, church. You have everything you need. The Lord of heaven and earth is with us. He loves us and He goes with us. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you today and every day. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Shout.